Hi friends, welcome to the Mama.Wifelife podcast. I'm your hostess Brittany, and each week we'll be gabbing, bragging, and unpacking about life. So grab yourself a drink, get yourself comfortable, and get ready to be inspired.
This week, we are talking about yowzies. Yowzies?
No.
Yowwangers, zangers, no. Owzies.
What are they called?
What the hell are they called?
Cryptozoology.
And if you're wondering, that is not an echo, that is Tanya.
Hi,
Tanya.
Hi there.
That is Arthur's partner.
That's the one.
Thanks for inviting me in.
Well, we figured we should talk about this because when we started to discuss this on the other podcast, it became very apparent that Arthur has no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Sasquatch. Like I said in the last time that I had only heard them in the sense of some of the indigenous cultures talking about them. That's about it, really, though.
Yeah, and then there's me, and I'm like super obsessed with a other podcast, and it's about all things Bigfoot, Sasquatch, like, and they, it's my favorite thing to listen to, and Now I want to take a cryptozoology course because I just love it.
Well, it is. It's really cool. You might need to define cryptozoology for some people.
Oh, so like basically what it is it's like the Loch Ness Monster, and it's like all those things that are like mystical, I wouldn't say fairy tales, but they're like stories that just like people talk about.
Mythological creatures.
Yeah,
they haven't proved they exist yet, but or disproved that they exist.
Yeah.
But there's enough evidence that they think that they might exist.
Yes, and I think Bigfoot totally exists. And I would like to go and just see if I could find some like footprints or like Bigfoot scat or something, but I don't ever want to actually see one because it would probably traumatize me and it would probably end me. Like, I think it would just kill me completely. I would just be like frozen.
Why would it be?
I think they're terrifying. Like, I think that if I were to see one, like they discuss about how like they, when people do see them, it's like they can't move. Like they just get, and of course they say like don't look them in the eyes.
You have to remember that people, we don't see everything. Like, our vision is limited.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We don't see certain facets and colors and all sorts of stuff. Not colors. I think there are like other animals that can see more than we can. So we don't see everything. So anything that we aren't familiar with as a human being is probably going to sort of sit on the outside of our abilities to recognize things, which is absolutely fearsome for a human being.
Well, yeah, like when I was talking about aliens and like, I think that that's a whole other, just like, it just blows my mind because there's people that don't believe in them.
Yes.
At all. So what are your thoughts on these things? Because I could just sit here and ramble on about it.
Alien, I believe that there are aliens. I think that's, it's a weird thing to say. It just sounds a bit strange. But yes, I've heard stories from native elders and things like that. There have been undoubtedly lights in the sky. Some of them are obviously, you know, missile launches gone wrong and the practical sort of stuff. But there are some things that move at incredible speeds.
Yes.
That have been recorded. I can't go into details about it. I mean, like, I don't have the information.
Yeah.
And even pilots and things like that who have seen aliens tend to be a little bit tight-lipped about the whole thing. And
what was that?
Oh, I don't know. Ignore it.
Yeah,
kind of thing, you know.
They can't talk about it.
Yeah. My grandfather was a pilot, and he used to talk about things like that, about lights in the sky.
Do tell.
Well,
do you have any stories?
Yeah, I might have a couple of things. I mean, my grandfather was a big teller of stories. He didn't talk a lot about the war per se from a war standpoint, but he used to talk about
come on
lights in the sky and the green flashes that you see at sunset and things like that.
What are the green flashes?
I can't remember what they are. Those do exist,
is that not like St. Elmo's lightning?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, St. Elmo's fire or whatever they call
it. That's like the light that you saw that was like...
That went straight up
in the air. And then it was on the news. I tagged him in it. I was like, look, it was on like CNN.
Yeah.
And then I commented in the comment section. I was like, my friend saw this.
Was that the picture that I took?
Yeah. And I'm like, my
that's
friend
not
saw
St. Elmo's
this.
Lightning.
And I know that's not okay, what okay. it is. I'm just saying that like, I feel like there's a lot of weird things that happen and they have like really good things that they tell us that are like, oh, it's just because of this. And I'm like, or it's probably something like aliens and they're just like fucking with us.
But isn't it just as miraculous to have it be something like that? Like just the right atmospheric conditions to make green streaks go up into the sky. Like, how that to me is still kind of magical. How many times have we actually seen that in our lifetime? I never have.
No.
You know, I mean, all of these, my grandfather, again, going back to the fact that he was a pilot, I wish I knew all the details, like who it was that he was flying with and everything, but he ended up with like one half of his airplane got covered in what appeared to be like reddish brown paint while he was flying.
Oh, that's odd.
And yeah. And when he landed and they sampled this stuff all over the side of his airplane, like it was enough to obscure half the windscreen. Oh, it was iodine.
Iodine.
And apparently it's not common, but it does happen that we end up with like bubbles of iodine in the atmosphere.
What?
And so he just
iodine.
Yeah. And he just popped one of these bubbles as his airplane went through it, and it blocked the windscreen.
Yeah.
He flew through a bubble of iodine? Is that what you said?
Floating in the sky.
Floating in the sky.
Yeah.
How heavy is iodine? Can it float in the sky? Is that?
That's a valid question.
I have
you. No, you are the science head in this.
It's one of those things where I've tried looking it up. Even Googling it is really, really hard. You can get some information about different types of things that, I mean, we all hear the stories about frogs falling from the sky and all of those things.
Yeah.
And they're still not totally sure why it happens. They just know for a fact it does. Because there's enough evidence there. The iodine on his airplane was, and we're not just talking like speckles of iodine. We're talking about something big enough to obscure half his windshield and go down the side of the plane. It's in his logbooks.
Is iodine something that's man-made, or is that a?
No, it's a natural.
It's a natural phenomenon type thing.
Yeah. And so now, my mother, she grew up on a farm out on Watson Road, right? And so, but when she was growing up, there was nothing around there at that point. They were in the country, right? And so they were outside and they're playing, and she was eating watermelon.
Okay.
And they were playing, so the driveway was really long and it had apple trees, those like little like crab apples. And so they were hiding and playing, and so she was sitting there eating her watermelon, and she was like, oh, they're gonna find me. And so she's sitting there and she looks up, and at the top of the barn there's like the door up at the top. So there's like the main door, and then up above, I guess that's where they would throw out hay or whatever. There was a floating green figure.
What?
Up there. And okay. So so she was eating watermelon and she swallowed everything. Like she was just like, and so she freaked out, ran inside, told her dad and all of them, and they came out with guns being like, we're going to kill whatever's out there.
Like, it wasn't a Yowie?
No, it could have been.
I love that. Got to look up a Yowie. Hold on.
And they could never find it. And this is also my mother, who now says that she does not believe in aliens. She does not believe.
What are those aliens? Is that a ghost?
So she believes in ghosts.
Okay.
She believes in ghosts.
But she doesn't believe that was a ghost.
She's like, it was a green floating figure. And it scared the crap out of her. But just like when I want to say it was before I was even born, or maybe my mother was like pregnant with me or like whatever. We were up at the cottage and they all went out, my grandmother and stuff, and they all went up to go to the church. And there's like a bridge that you can like go down. And as they were walking up through the field, they had something come down and was like, and it's funny because Ron Hellyer, and he's a national defense guy back in like the 60s, I think. He had a cottage in Gravenhurst, and he, you can look it up on YouTube, and he has gone in to the government and had it like being like, there are actually aliens.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. And so, but I really feel like we don't have aliens out in space. I think we have aliens that are just like, in our oceans and in our waterways, because we don't explore there. It's so deep. We don't even have the ability to go deep into all of our oceans.
Yeah, that's correct. I think also one of the other things is that they've talked about folding space, and that, you know, when you fold space, there's a shorter distance to travel between one part of, you know, a universe, galaxy, to another. And I think that's the other thing is that you can't see them, and then they, you know, vault space and travel through. There's all that sort of stuff. I call those
wormholes. Like in my head, it's like when you go to Lake Titicaca and all these places where they see these beings that just show up, because there's like these big doors that are like etched in that have look like there's a place to put like a key or whatever, but they don't open. I'm like, what if that's a portal?
Interesting.
Well, that we can't access, because I think that back in the day, like, and the day I mean like back like ancient Egyptian times and stuff like that, where they would document these things, I don't think they were just like, mind you, they could have been high on something, they could have been eating something hallucinogenic, but you know, having things that were floating in the sky, like I feel like they were so open to things, they weren't bombarded with all the different things that we have now.
Yeah,
right. And I think that's why we don't see them. And it's funny because me being who I am, and we have like days and days where it's like overcast and there's no sun, and it's I'm like I bet you that there's yeah, I bet there's like aliens cruising around, and they've created all this so we can't see them, like the gut, like me, right? The government's done it, right? This is, I really need to get out of the house.
You need to get
have you there was a thing that
we'll get you help.
There was a
get a tinfoil hat.
The ex Canadian defense minister,
yes,
apparently believes that there are aliens that live among us.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ron Hellyer.
Yeah, Ron Hellyer. Thank you. I don't even remember his name. And a lot of them, apparently, they look Nordic,
mm-hmm.
from what I've heard. And he's pretty convinced. And then there was this thing with when, like, one of the secret Israeli secret service or some guy that was leading that, I don't have the details, but
yes.
And he said to Trump, and they were all worried that Trump was going to spill the guts about aliens, and
but don't forget, he also made it that they have to tell us what's going on with that, so like we're counting down the days. He gave them like 300 days or something, and we're getting down to like half of that, like we're creeping up. We should look it up, because it's coming down to they're gonna have to like address that.
Interesting. Is that just because it's being declassified?
I think that he is asking for them to declassify it, is what I okay. is what I think.
Sorry, we're taking microphone directions here.
So I think that for me, I think Bigfoot is something that, like, when you look it up, it's really big in the States. I know out in BC, it's really, really big. I know if you research it, because obviously we're in Ontario, so I'm like, is there any here? And there's a lot of people that will that have sightings up towards Algonquin Park.
Okay.
And so I know there's the BFRO group.
What's the BFRO group?
They are like researchers for Bigfoot.
I guess it's Bigfoot Research Organization or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And like they're rubbish.
Are they?
Yeah, they're like, they will have people that have had like legitimate sightings, and they will call them and be like, this is what, and they will either try to tell them like, oh, that they weren't brown, they were black. Like they will try and convince them that what they're repeating to them is not true, or that they've misseen stuff.
Okay.
So, and the podcast that I listen to is Sasquatch Chronicles, and they are phenomenal. Like, they are so, so, so good. And they're so good at educating. And but it's like, unfortunately, when you are reporting these things, like, people contact the BFRO. And, yeah, I've just not heard very many good things about them. Now they're going to come after me. They're going to send me nasty letters. They're like, stop talking about us. Well, sorry, that's how I feel. I'm allowed to have my feelings.
This is true. This is true. Now, is it run by the government? Is it an individual?
Yeah, it's a private organization. We don't have to worry.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah. But I find that a lot of the stories that I hear, a lot of them with the police and whatnot, they end up basically being told that like they need to drop it. They can't discuss it. And then they usually will get called out to a call. Like the one that I was listening to on the way here, this lady lived by herself, and she said that there was someone that was like tormenting her house, was like banging on the walls and like doing all this stuff. And so the one police officer went out, and then he kind of made it like his own job to kind of just go out and just check on her, because she lived there all by herself.
Right.
And he ended up getting pulled into the office, and there was like these guys there, and they basically were like, you are done with this. Like, you're not investigating it, and either you you resign or you're fired. And just, like, wow. They don't want to talk about it. And so, and I don't know if it's because, like, when you think about it, all of the different things that would affect, like, if they came out tomorrow and was like, there are four, because apparently the government is aware of four different types of, like, species of Bigfoot, Yeti, Sasquatch, whatever. There's four different types. That if that was something that was a common knowledge, like, there's a bunch of people that just think that they're, like, big cuddly teddy bears and they're going to go out and sing Kumbaya with them. And, like, that's not how it would be. Like, I really think that.
Well, if it's an animal, it has potential to be dangerous.
Yeah, and I
wild animals are, you know.
I don't think that they are human. I would not categorize them as, like, human people. I think, like, they are human-like, but they're huge. Like, they're massively, their shoulders are massive. And I think that's what a lot of people don't get, is like, they aren't just gonna appear. They are really good at hiding. They can go into the woods and just be gone.
Well, yeah, a lot of wild animals can, right?
I have a question.
What
would happen if a Sasquatch got coronavirus?
I don't even know. It'd probably be the same thing with, like, all the
should they gorillas. Be wearing masks? Oh, should we demonstrate?
We're gonna mute you now, sir. Thank you very much. And he's been muted.
Sorry. I just had to throw it in
there.
I
bet you did. No, I think that they, like, they say, like, why don't we find their like, dead bodies? Because I think that they bury them. Or you also hear about how some history states that, like, you know, there are, like, we aren't going to go into this area because there's cannibals. And I'm wondering, like, this has been around forever. This isn't something that's been new. Yeah. And I think that it's something that's really, really real. But I think that they are really good at hiding. They don't want to be found because they know.
Like, if you were, I mean, I'm assuming we're talking about a living thing that has a certain amount of intelligence to it. Because if they're keeping away from us.
They are
intelligent. And our technology and our society and our cities and all that sort of stuff. That, you know, why would you want to be around us? Take a look.
Understand that, yeah. But like, I think that they know that, like, people, like, if they were to come out and say, okay, yeah, we have them, people would try and hunt them, right? And then all the, like, logging and stuff that goes on, that all that would have to stop. Because
why would it stop?
It wouldn't have to stop. No, I mean, you have bears and moose and all sorts of things out there.
I think it would be because now they would want to try and find them, because then, like, we go to zoos and we have, like, wild animals that are in the zoos. Like, I really feel like it would just be such a big thing. Like, instead of it being like, okay, yeah, they're there, carry on, I think that they would really try and, you'd have a lot of the, what's the group that's the animal rights group?
Oh, there's a PETA, lot of them,
there's a few of them.
Yeah, but like, PETA, yeah. I think that would be huge. You need to stop logging. You need to stop chasing these.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, right? Chasing away the habitats.
Chasing away their habitats. Right. They live, right? Like, I really think that that's what would happen. And then people would not be so, like, thrilled to go out to go camping out in the woods in BC if they know that, like, there could be a family of Sasquatches that live in there.
I see it sort of, like, sometimes I think with those things, just to be devil's advocate a little bit. One of the things about cryptozoology that can be a bit of a problem with it is that sometimes it's the specialness of having seen these things mm-hmm. that becomes the focus of a person's life when they have, say, seen had a Sasquatch sighting or a Yeti sighting or something similar to that. And it has to maintain its mystique for them to continue feeling that specialness, if that makes sense. Because if I actually look logically at that, there is no reason the government isn't going to shut down logging to save the lives of indigenous
of a lot of animals
living up in, you know, they're not going to do that.
But isn't this sort of special because if there is a sighted and, you know, provable, you know, sighting of a Sasquatch, Bigfoot, and it's, you know, it's something that that people take seriously, like, you know, the whole everybody knows about it, right?
Yeah.
Then doesn't that change how they deal with certain things?
And so they were saying in the one podcast about how, like, people that have them very active on their property, okay, so if they came out, then would they be able to remove these people that live in this house on this property and say, okay, this is now designated as their thing, so you can't be here?
No, probably not, because you can't do that now. If they found an endangered animal living on your property, they can't throw you off your property.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
How do they manage that? Let's say you have a farm property that has, you know, a bird that's particularly endangered. Do they support? What do they do with that? Do you know?
I don't know actually what the legals are, so I won't say that for sure. Right. But my understanding is that while there may be some support for, say, the you know, endangered species of owl that's nesting in a tree now, they might be like, you can't cut down that tree.
Yeah.
But they're not going to actually remove you from your house.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not kind of how we work overall.
But I'm thinking I agree with you, because I think that wouldn't, but I'm thinking in forms of if they know that these things are coming in, because like there's stories and accounts, because like I have not seen one, do not want to see one. I don't want, but from listening to the different podcasts, it's just like they really, there's some that are like that love to watch women and children when they're out, right? And it's like, and it's not like you're gonna go to your cottage and see them, because mind you, when I'm up north, my senses are always like so high, because I'm terrified of seeing one, because it would just, I wouldn't believe it. My eyes.
Maybe
just,
you would change how you felt about it. If you did see one,
I'd probably shit my pants.
You think so?
I would shit my. I think
you don't think you'd be fascinated.
I would probably cry. I think I would immediately cry, because I would be like, this thing could kill me. This thing. Because, like, I've seen bears. Like, we've driven cars into our lane and chased bears in. And bears scare me, but they don't come to you. Like, bears don't typically come and be like, hey, bro, let's be friends. Same with deer. Like, they don't really. But Sasquatch, like, they are interested being. And I feel like if you get the, there's, like, the ones that are aggressive, where they will just, like, they don't want you there, right? Or the ones that are just, like, the one episode, they like played a crying baby for like an hour, and then they turned it off, and then they started getting like these like whoops and all this stuff in like Washington, where they shouldn't be getting whoops. Like, they don't. And so they're trying to be like, okay, well, is it an like owl? And they try to explain it away, but then
was that an area where there was like Bigfoot reported?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some people that are like known, and the people that do this specific podcast, like, they know that like it's a very active spot, because they tend to have a spot and then they frequent it there.
Well, it's territory, right?
Yeah,
like any animal that has a territory.
Yeah,
but I mean, we have to remember that we're very used to living in cities.
Yeah,
and a lot of our experience with nature is the occasional hike, which makes us feel all very naturey,
right?
Or going to a cottage. But when I lived on my farm, and I had 100 acres, I had can't remember how many acres of agreement forest next to me, and we tended to border on the backsides of other people's farms, so there was a lot of animal activity and stuff like that. Just down the road was a place where some horses were that I used to go riding, and the coyotes used to watch us, and you learned after a while when they were watching you. But when I first started to go there, I just wasn't familiar with it. I was coming from living in Brampton and Mississauga, and my idea of animals was squirrels and raccoons and, you know, skunks and stuff like that.
Yeah,
which made me all feel very nature. You see a skunk running across the road, and it's like, ooh, I live in the wilderness. But
you're so naturey.
Yeah, so naturey. I had a companion who was used to going.
Daniela Boone.
Yeah. Used to going and riding out there with me. And he's like, oh, he says, we're just going to go out by this door. He says, the coyotes are at the back door of the barn. And I'm like, that's freaking terrifying. What are you talking about? He goes, well, they won't really bug you. He says, they're curious because it's nighttime. We've got the doors open.
Yeah.
And they're used to the doors being locked. He said, well, we were grooming the horses in the hallway. It was hot. We had the doors open.
Yeah.
And he goes, we'll leave together. He says, they generally won't bother you. He says, but we don't take any chances, right? Yeah. We'll leave out the front and the dogs will follow us out to the car. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And after a while, I started to notice when the coyotes were around, and you just see a flash of it, like just really, really fast, just like a little, you know, them disappearing into the woods and whatever else. You'd be driving down the road and you'd be like, holy cow, there's like, I just passed an entire herd of deer. How did I miss this? Like, I'm literally seeing it out of the corner of my eye. How does 5 deer suddenly appear and disappear? Because we really are not trained to see those things. So isn't it really the same with the Sasquatch?
I think that we are not built to be able, like, I think that if we lived in the bush and we were just like bush people and didn't have like TV and phones,
we'd
and, like,
start things, to notice those things.
We would
things
really
more.
Start to notice and sense and feel the things going on. And I also think that they just don't randomly show themselves to everybody.
No, and if, I mean,
I have to say that what you just said, we used to go for an end of year camp type thing at the end of our martial arts school. And we spent, it wouldn't be longer than a weekend, but because of the, you know, you're actively involved in, you know, doing these techniques all day long.
Yeah.
And you're just sort of a part of the place.
Yeah.
And then you sort of didn't think about it until you sort of crossed over the border that sort of separates country from city.
Mm-hmm.
And you could feel
the change.
And even more than that, it was like the filth of the city,
yeah.
Like, because it's, you know, there's garbage bins and there's things, and it's just the attitude and everything. It was just, yeah, sensitivity to that sort of thing.
Like, when I'm up at the cottage and we're around the fire and we want to walk down and go see the Moffats, I will not walk. Like, I...
What's a Moffat?
The friend, Moffats. It's like a family friend.
Oh, right. That's a name. Yeah. I thought it was an animal.
We're going to go find the Moffat.
He's Australian. God. We could have told
I don't
it was
know.
An animal.
We could have told them.
You could probably spin anything on me right now.
And you would believe.
Food out for the Moffats tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shut it.
Yeah, and then he would go and just say, he would just do it for the rest of his life. He would. He would just go, they're feeding the Moffats.
Frank, did you know they had Moffats in Canada? The fuck is a Moffat?
Really? They'd be like, a Moffat? Like from Sesame Street? Oh my God.
We are relentless.
Yeah. No, but like I was saying that on when you get to my lane and it goes into like a fork, we are on the right-hand side. When like I'll explore there in the daytime and go around whatever. But when I go down the other side, I will not go anywhere near the end of that other road unless I have somebody with me. Like, I won't just, like, when I would go up there with the boys and go for a walk with them, I would get to like the birdshots and I was like, nope, done, turn around. Because
now,
I
is
just
it because you
it.
Think there's a Sasquatch, or is no, it just
it just
something
feels
is,
funny
feels
it just feels weird
because you're
just,
very sensitive to those sort of things, like, I'm just, not mocking you,
no,
right?
It like it just feels not right. And I think it's from when I was younger and I had something chase me out of the woods with my friend, and I like abandoned my bike there and I wouldn't leave until my dad came to pick me up.
Tell us what chased you.
I have no idea what chased me. We were...
Did you see it?
No, it was...
Was it on all fours?
No.
It was on two
legs? It's... Well, that's... Yeah, like I was...
Maybe that's why you're so fascinated with Bigfoot.
I think that that's probably why, because I was with my friend Anne. Anne Westcott, if you're listening.
She's talking close to the microphone. Is there an attraction there? I'm sorry, I'm really...
Let her finish her story.
Stop interrupting.
Go ahead.
I'm going to smack you later. So we were down, and like when this happened, I was young. Like, I was in between the ages of like 8 and 11. Like, and we, where it was, like, we could walk and go all the way up and around and go to the other side of the lake, which was fine. Now when you go there, the trail that you would normally take is gone, doesn't even exist. It's like this little short ass little like jaunt, and then you're over. And there wasn't as many people up there. Like, it was very much like a quieter area. And we were down there, and there was this makeshift little like bridge that was made out of wood, and there was this little stream that goes into my lake. And so we hopped down. So we brought our bikes to that spot, put them up against the tree, and then wanted to go down and walk along the river to go and see. Because, like, and by river, I mean, like, it's not big. Like, it's just like a
little creek
flow.
Or something.
Yeah. And so we started walking, and we probably walked 10 minutes in, to the point where, like, when you turn around, it was like there were so many bends, you couldn't see where we left the bikes. And we got to a point where there was lots of like things pushed down, like as if deer. That's what I thought, like, oh, it's deer, like deer, because that would make sense. Mm-hmm. And we were there, and we all of a sudden we both stopped because we could hear something, and it was like crashing, and it wasn't going away from us, it was coming towards us, because you could see the trees, you could see the like things moving. And so we started to like, okay, we should go. And me being like the scaredy shit pants that I am, and I'm like, we'll get out of here, bye. And I was like, okay, well, like, we should really go. And so we started to like head out, and this thing, it just sounded like it was getting faster.
Oh.
Right? And when I was younger, I was like, you know, could it have been like a bear, like a little bear? Or could have there been a bear cub in like the grass that we couldn't see, and the mother bear was there and was like, but it was just the, like, for how high up the trees were that were moving.
That's weird.
And so, and it was daytime. Usually, like, things don't really hang out in the heat when it's hot.
Yeah, which means that they were obviously concerned about you, about for them to something. Be troubling themselves, yes, with moving around that much during, yeah, the day.
And so we took off, and I remember my bike got stuck, and I was like, I just left it. I said, like, fuck it. And we just took off, and we ran back to her cottage, and I wouldn't leave. Like, I was like, I'm not leaving. Nope, nope, nope. And I made my dad come down. My dad had to come down with his truck, put the bike in the back of his truck, and drive me home, because I was like, I was not.
Did he see anything or hear anything?
No.
Did he have any ideas about what it might have been?
No, he said it was probably just, like, a raccoon or something, right? Like, because he's...
Crashing towards you in the brush?
Yeah, he just, yeah. Yep. Yeah, well, he doesn't want to be like, yeah, it could be something very scary, like, that could have
eaten
you.
It's okay, sweetheart. It's a Sasquatch. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, yeah, no parent's, yeah, ever going to say, no, that, right?
Right? So I just kind of chalked it up to just being like something that was scary and was not happy that we were there. And I, honest to God, I haven't been back down there until this past summer. And I went with me and the boys and Tom. And I think I went with my sister, too. It was all of us. And we went, and it was like, walking back there, it was just, it's so overgrown. Like, there's, you come down, and as soon as you get down to this one bed, it's just like, it's just all these like trees and high weeds, and then it just goes down, and then it's just like mushy grossness, right? And I'm just like, yeah, I was like, I have no reason to be down here. Like, yeah. I don't like it. I hate how it feels. And now recently, in the last few years, I want to say, and by a few years, I'm probably saying like 6 or 7 years, they've put up electric fences around all of our dumps, which, okay, I find really odd, because the first thing I thought of was when they put up all those things, I was like, so now all the bears are going to move down this way.
Right.
They're going to move down this, right, way.
There's no food for them.
Yeah. And now it's like, when you go up there, you will see like foxes and some deer, but like, you don't see the bears like you used to. Like, you would go to the dump and you would see like lots of bears.
Oh gosh, yeah, yeah. That's...
You don't see them now. They're not there.
Country town date night. My mom and her partner used to get McDonald's and sit in the car locked and watch the. Yeah.
We used to do that on like Saturday nights up at the cottage. Literally, right?
I think it's cool. We get to see the bears. When have you seen a bear in real life?
I saw a bear on the way back from one of the festivals that we did.
You should quit lying.
All right, yeah, that's true.
I'm not lying. I saw a bear.
He did. He's right. He's right.
It was a bear. We were cutting through Algonquin National Park, mm-hmm, whatever it is, on that road, mm-hmm, and there was a bear on top of the hill by the side of the road. It was a little one, but it wasn't, you know, just a bear.
Our black bears aren't huge.
No, but that's just like, you know, I just keep, it bothers me now, like, I will think about it, and it's straight up like low-key stresses me out, because I'm like, could you imagine if it was something? But I neither one of us saw what it was. I just, looking up, it was up so high, and the fact that it was just moving, it wasn't like
the fact that it was moving, because like porcupines climb trees, so it could shake a tree and they could be out during the day. Well, but and the fact that it was moving
towards us, you
is really, I can't think of anything that kind of does that myself.
No. And so, and I, but I just,
a cougar? Could it be a cougar?
We have them up there, and that's right. So like,
and they are dangerous,
and they will come
towards you if they want
and
you.
And so again, like, I'm not saying I saw a Sasquatch or that, but that's being down in that area is kind of like the prime spot for anything like that to be, because there's so much field And then there's a water thing there.
Which is perfect for right? and predators.
And if at nighttime you could just walk down there, no one would see you because it's a big dip. And then they could go right down into the little cove there and eat all the like minnows and like frogs and stuff.
That's the funny thing. When I was living in Arizona, I used to go for a walk. It wasn't very far. It was out in the middle of nowhere. Camp Verde was sort of in between Phoenix and Flagstaff.
Yeah.
And I'd walk out with the dog that we had there,
mm-hmm.
and I'd climb up to the top of a hill.
Yeah.
And I was fine with it. It's great.
Yeah.
No problem. And I sat there and I did things. I meditated or something like that. And I totally forgot that there was like news broadcasts of cougars, and you guys come at me about poisonous stuff. It's just like, and I hadn't even, I'm going out, when I go out into the country in Australia, I don't think of, animals that can run me down in any way. I mean, I don't live, like, where I lived in Australia, it wasn't like there are crocodiles, like, up in north. We don't have, no, Victoria in right. South doesn't have anything like that at all. We barely have dingoes, as far as I understand. I mean, there are some crazy things I think you have to watch out for. I forgot the name.
Spiders?
No. Snakes. It's a little animal.
Blue-ringed octopus.
The Tasmanian
devils.
Huh?
Tasmanian devils?
Tasmanian devils.
You have Tasmanian devils where you were?
I think they have them in Victoria.
Yeah.
Crazy. They call them, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about
Did
that.
Did you
but
know that there's a primate that it has a poisonous bite? Did you know that? And it's like this freaking big.
Yeah.
And it can kill you.
I didn't. Oh, the little, is it like a little baby monkey type thing?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't. Oh, I might have heard
only,
of that.
It's the only poisonous primate.
Yeah, I would go to a place like Australia, and the one would be there, and it would bite my ass.
Except they're not Australian, so you're okay.
I know, but somebody could bring it.
Brittany's paranoia takes off on the podcast.
Like Brittany slides on like, her tinfoil hat.
Right here. Literally,
that's
right?
What that sound was.
Right? Like, seriously, though. Like, I used to be so obsessed with like ghosts and spirits and stuff like that. And now I don't even care because I'm like, yep, I got ghosts in my house. I know they're real. Carry on to the next thing. Like I used to sit there and watch like paranormal this and paranormal that and like haunted things. And now I watch it and I'm like so not interested. I'm so bored because I'm like, I got some in my house, so it's fine.
Okay.
But now it's like I've moved on to this.
Sasquatches.
Yeah. And it's funny because now when I go driving out in the country, I'm like looking around and I was like, I wonder, like, where do they stop? Where do they like decide, okay, we're not going this?
What does a Sasquatch eat?
I think it eats meat. It eats like fish. It eats leaves.
Do they hunt down moose? What do they?
Yeah. They will eat like coyotes. They'll eat mice. Well, I'm sure they would eat mice, but like deer, anything that they can grab, I think, like, they are literally like the biggest things in the forest if they exist. They are the like king of the forest.
There's lots of big things that are completely vegetarian. I mean, gorillas are vegetarians, right? Or primarily vegetarians.
What does a caribou or a moose eat?
Caribou or moose, they eat leaves. They're vegetarians.
They're vegetarians.
Yeah, they're an undulate.
And what are those leaves that are in water? What do you call them? The lily pads. Yeah. We have some yellow ones on my lake, and they make popcorn.
Popcorn?
Yeah. There's like specific like lily pad flowers, and they're like, you can make popcorn out of them. I remember my aunt Irene took me out when I was younger.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here, we're wasting our time talking about aliens and Sasquatch, and I just found out you lily can make pads. Popcorn out of lily pads?
You no, have not, to bring some back. Not lily we have pads, to do like the a taste
water
test.
Lilies.
That's
still, I'm still fascinated.
Yeah. Yeah, my Aunt Irene took me out. I miss her so much, but we don't, like, she lives up in Owen Sound, and we just don't talk very much anymore. She had the most amazing garden, and she was, like, she's so fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, she's, like, a forestry person.
You should ask her what she thinks about Sasquatch, someone like that who's used to being out in the woods stuff might have a story or two. Maybe.
We should ask Gordy about that.
Yes, we should.
Who's
Gordy? Gordy is...
He's my stepfather.
Yeah.
And he is a lumberjack.
Is there a way that we can call him right now and get him on here?
Probably not. He's not really good with tech. He spends a lot of time by himself in forests and stuff like that. And not even joking.
I know.
But yeah, I didn't. He used to do logging on the rivers before that was made illegal.
You should text your mom and be like, hey, can you ask Gordy about...
Ask Gordy about Sasquatches. I'm going to do that, folks. We're going to do that like right now.
Yeehaw.
And just be like, what do you think? And then he'll be like, I have so many stories.
He might. He might. He's, yeah, he's an interesting character with all sorts of things.
I feel like the further up north you get, I think that, like...
Well, he's definitely north, yeah.
Like, it's funny because I listen to these podcasts and like I said, we're like I live in a very small, not small town, but like, you know, we don't have Sasquatch here or anything of that nature.
That we are aware of.
That we're aware of, yeah. And I'll be making supper and I'll see like a thing and I'm like, because I've been listening to this stupid podcast for like 5 hours.
You just scare yourself.
Right? Yeah. And I scare the shit out of myself.
Brittany, you need to call me when things like that happen again.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, you come over and you're all dressed up, and I'm like, there is one here to come and get me because you're so
tall. A Sasquatch and he's wearing a toque
and he speaks in a funny accent. I like it.
Yes, Sasquatches are Australian. Yeah.
Well, no, because I mean, you said Arthur said that there were no Sasquatches in Australia.
No, there is a Yowie, Yowie, and there's also a Bunyip.
Yeah.
On this bloody microphone, would you stop it? Thank you.
Yeah, no, I...
What's the difference between a Sasquatch and a Bunyip?
You should Google
it. I'd have to Google that.
You should Google
it. If you talk, and I will Google it.
We will talk. Yeah. Or we'll just play some of the...
Hopefully my microphone will work when I come back.
Music from the... From the elevator.
Sasquatch sounds.
Like, I would love to hear if I can get some.
And
Sasquatch.
I realized we never talked about the poisonous primate. It is a slow loris.
A slow loris.
Slow loris,
yes,
is a poisonous primate. It's not technically lethal. It could be lethal. It is definitely painful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no.
Okay, so I shall read a Bunyip from Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
The Bunyip is a creature from Australian Aboriginal mythology, said to lurk in swamps, billabongs, creeks, riverbeds, and waterholes. The Bunyip was part of traditional Australian Aboriginal beliefs and stories throughout Australia, while its name varied according to tribal nomenclature. In his 2001 book, writer Robert Holden identified at least 9 regional variations of the creature known as the Bunyip across Aboriginal Australia. The origin of the word Bunyip has been traced to the Wemba Wemba or Wangaria Regaia language of the Aboriginal people of Victoria and southeastern Australia. Europeans recorded various written accounts of Bunyips in early and mid 19th century as they began to settle across the country. There you go.
Damn, there you go. And it's like, it also goes under like the Loch Ness monster.
Yes, this is true. Apparently, Gordy does not have any Sasquatch stories. He lives in the hills in... Does he believe in them?
Ask her.
He does have stories about the Lugaru, which is interesting.
What's a Lugaru?
Can he please...
That is a werewolf.
Yes! Yes!
Oh,
yes.
that's scary.
Yes, I have heard... So, there was a story that there was a... And this man... basically knew that he was like had something going on with him. So the story is, and I'm going to try and say this without getting like goosebumps and completely freaked out, these people, they lived out in the middle of nowhere, big huge house, but it was a house that had like an A-frame type thing, like a big,
like a Viking lodge or something.
No, not a Viking lodge. It just had like very big... oh, someone's phone going off, sorry. So the mother had to drop off somebody at work and then went in to go get like donuts and stuff, and she had to go pick up somebody, and so she was getting into her car and she put it in reverse and she saw something in her rearview mirror,
yeah,
and it was like terrifying, like a wolf but like huge. And when she reversed her car and looked, she could see the footprints were on her roof. Whoa. And it went off into the woods, and so her and her husband and her like buddy who was a cop followed it to like a cabin, where this cabin was like deep in the bush, hidden. If it wasn't for snow, they wouldn't have found it. And this guy had like these chains. He had like a room that he could lock, and he would chain himself up, and there was like these scratch marks and all this stuff. And like he was responsible for fixing tires. Like the guy that lived there worked at like a local shop, and he would do tires. And he had really like weird eyes, like almost like dog eyes, like you know the like when you look at a dog and they have like the brown kind of glistening eyes, like they're, okay. And yeah, like I'm just getting like chills because he wrote something weird on the side of the tire, like some weird language, and like yeah, no, and like totally like werewolf story. So like what does he have to say about werewolves?
Yeah, I'm just asking him there. I know that there are some stories. I won't name and shame the family.
Yeah, you don't have to.
But it's the same area where there was one of them that was supposed to be known to be loup-garou.
Okay.
And apparently one night somebody he was attacking sheep. Yeah. And somebody hit him.
Yeah.
And he turned back into a human and then thanked the person that hit him.
Yeah.
For doing that. And then I think eventually he died from his injuries with that sort of a thing. But because it runs in families, it's supposed to be a bit of a story. But what I found interesting is it's very regional. So this sort of St. Lawrence, Northern Quebec, in the woods, this community has been cut off from a lot of the rest of the Ontario and Quebec.
Okay.
Just because of where they are, it's, you know, there was no bridge across the river until the 50s. Mm-hmm. It was a single lane bridge. It's now a double lane bridge. And so a lot of these things are changing. This is where we went.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. We were on the Ontario side.
Yeah.
But where my mother and her partner lives is on the Quebec side.
Okay.
And of course he does work in the woods a lot. So I'd be interested to see what his stories are because
I would love to hear it.
Yeah. Because he's very, he's got a lot of the older stories and a lot of the older understandings
of
things.
We're going on a road trip.
Once we're allowed to go on a road trip, we should collect some of these stories because there's a lot of magical things that happen up there.
We would have to go there though, because I would be like, take me,
show me.
Yes,
I need to see.
When I was living in Arizona, I was living with a friend of mine who was him and his girlfriend. He was Kiowa and she was a Jewish girl. And we were up late and he was, you know, having a drink and all that. And we heard, it was late at night, we were out in the middle of the desert in their house cabin thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to sound like a coyote.
Mm-hmm.
But the sound was like a cross between a human doing a coyote sound, but somehow had the coyote throat to yip.
That could have been a Bigfoot, because Bigfoot are known to mock animals. They're also known to mock humans and like fake child cry. When you're out in the woods and you'll like hear a child crying.
The possums sound like a baby crying too.
When we heard this, we just looked at each other. The dog looked at us and we were like, that's not a human being. That's not a coyote. That's something else. And there's lots of stories about medicine men, what do they call it, a brujo, warlocks changing into animals.
That would just mess my head up completely.
You have to look, it's daytime, so I'm gonna say, but you have to look up things like skinwalkers and things like
I
won't talk about it at night.
So Skinwalker Ranch, have you watched that show?
No, I've the only one that I've seen, there's a guy that writes stories about the Navajo and the Hopi. I can't remember his name, and he has two police officers. One is Lieutenant Jim Chi and another guy, and
they have a farm.
I don't know if there's...
They have a TV show now.
Yeah.
And...
there's some on Netflix. I can't remember the name of the guy, though.
And, the animals are, like, found, and they are, like, missing eyeball, and, there's no blood, but there's, like, body parts missing. They brought two alpacas, and they have, like, a video of this thing coming in and attacking it, and so they ran out to go get it, and it was, like, it was not a dog, it was not a human, and this thing was, like, they go in, and, like, the radiation...
mm-hmm.
is so high on the property, and I wonder.
But that's really common in deserts to have high radiation because of the uranium content in the sand and stuff.
They
right?
were talking about how, I guess, like in Vegas, they did the atomic bomb, or they did like something like that.
Yeah.
And they were saying about how, that how high up the signal was. Like, it was because they put, like, a balloon up, and it was coming up there. Okay. And, like, as soon as they started digging, this one guy, like, had a massive growth, like, immediately appear in his head. He had to go to the hospital and have it, like, removed. Oh, like, wow. Crazy. I think there's three homesteads that used to be on the property, and it's, like, it's just, like, cursed. You should watch it.
It's not cursed. It is radiation.
No, like, they're saying that, like, with, like, this Skinwalker Ranch and, like, they're saying.
Could that be causing deformities in the animals?
There are other stories.
That would make your eyes disappear.
In and around Flagstaff, where they have found Navajo tribal members that have died, and there's no answer for it. They've just died. Not alcoholism, not anything that you might sort of think that someone might be abusing or anything like that. And there's no murder scene type thing, but they're dead.
Do you want to see if we can maybe get...
Oh, and the guy that writes the books is named Tony Hillerman.
Oh, look at this. Hunter captures strange howl in northern Ontario woods.
Strange howl. Strange
howl.
Oh, as in captures the sound. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so, speaking of which, you can all go and Google...
is this...
Hang on. If you Google Lugaroo commemorative stamps, Canada actually has two commemorative stamps dedicated to werewolves.
What?
Wow.
Thank you, Canada. You're just so weird.
Oh my God. That's so great.
I will 100% agree with that.
Look how beautiful that is. It's a blue. It's sort of like got some awesome artwork. So, I have that.
Wow, actually. Do Google it. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Government is uncertain of what the noise was. Trying to like pull it up.
Yeah,
so
but that's
listen.
I mean, if they don't know what it is, they're going to say they're uncertain. That doesn't mean that it's all ooga booga.
Oh, we're gonna listen.
All right, we're gonna listen.
It may not come through.
I'm pulling it up, but I'm just gonna wait and see if it'll play, because it's kind of giving me a bit of attitude. But like, could you imagine you're just like cruising through the woods doing your own thing? I'm gonna go like portaging and be all like with nature, and all of a sudden you hear this like, and you're just like, I think
you like to scare yourself, Brittany.
I think I would probably die. You would have to send somebody over, because I would be like not moving. I would be like, I am stuck in this spot. I am now one with the woods, and I'm not leaving until someone comes and gets me, because I would be too scared to walk back in the woods.
My mum once said that she had seen two spacecraft in the sky, and that they followed her home once.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
really interesting. Two silver... sort of chromy silver. I can't remember if they were saucer shaped or cigar shaped or something like that. And she said that they had followed her home too, which was. And I tried to ask her more about it, but she didn't. She was a little girl. She didn't know much more than
she
that.
She was a little girl.
She was a little girl.
Interesting.
That's that would scare the crap out of me.
She wasn't afraid of it for some reason.
You know what? I think lights. We all are like for. As long as humans have been on this earth, we've all been so fascinated with the sky, right? We would all like.
We don't get to see the sky.
No,
we don't actually see the sky because of the light pollution.
Yeah.
You really, when at nighttime, if we had the true sort of night, it's actually not nearly as dark as you would think it is, because it's lit by the Milky Way, and you can see it clearly. You can see it in Australia, out in the country. It's just like, it's lit by the billions and trillions of stars. That
are you ready to hear
this? Oh, okay. Let's see. We go.
Let's go for it.
That's pretty horrid sounding, actually.
It is, but I could make that sound if I went into a pool. But you know what I mean? I could make that sound in the.
And so, sorry, what is it? It's an actual recording from.
This was done in 2019, so like not that long ago. An Ontario hunter recorded a strange sound, echoing howl in the woods that has left biologists scratching their heads. Does Bigfoot exist? And if so, is it Canadian? And I'm trying to figure out where in Ontario it was.
Tanya, is there anything that you can think of that sort of could make that sound out in Canadian country?
Yeah, like what would you think would
what
be...
What would that... What sound would that be closest to at least?
It doesn't sound like a wolf.
Not quite.
No. No.
Maybe an angry bear?
Well, there isn't...
It could be a bear. It could be... It could be some sort of wild cat that's now the sound is actually echoing back,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I said, a possum sounds like a crying baby. And if you've ever heard raccoons screaming and fighting with each other,
yeah,
it'll put the hair up on the back of your neck.
Yeah, I bet.
I remember when I was a kid in Australia, I think it was like 13 or 14 and sort of, you know, adult minded, if you like, or not kid minded.
Yeah.
And there was a possum in the tree outside, and it made this god-awful sound. I couldn't figure it out. I've never heard one before, and I didn't know what the hell it was.
Yeah.
And then later on, I found out it was a possum. It scared the living daylights out of me.
So that was actually done near the Winnipeg border, but it, like, is... I'm trying to look here, because, yeah, it's, like, way up north. That's where it is.
Okay. Sue, look at...
What are we looking at? I say, like, Sue, look out.
Yeah,
okay.
Sue. So that's apparently where he was hunting, and he heard it, and that's all bush. And so, like, I see that, and I'm like, you know, it's probably something really angry, whatever it is. But again, like, could you imagine? You're out there, you're hunting. I'm gonna do this, and he. We have people that are trained in this, and they're like, we don't know what that sounds like. That's what their jobs to be like. Oh, that's an angry, you know,
Bigfoot. It's an angry Bigfoot.
It could be a Bigfoot. Technically, sound can be manipulated so easily. I mean, look at the problems that you're having just with your microphone right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that can sound weird out of context
as
well.
And see, this is why we have Tanya on here. Because
We need the cold-hearted scientific vision to keep everybody sane.
Yeah, well, because or else people are going to be like, oh my God, they're just saying whatever. It's like, no, this is why we have her here.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
And I believe in a lot of these things, too. Yeah. But I also believe that we have to look at things critically because there's a lot of false information out there as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean... I had a carload of people. We're driving home from a party years ago. None of us were drunk. We were just driving home.
Yeah.
And we took like a back road. It was the beginning of sort of cell phones and stuff.
Yeah.
So cell towers were still pretty far apart. Mm-hmm. And we saw this thing in the sky rising from the ground. That's what it looked like. This ring of lights. And it went up into the sky, and it was like literally made us slow down and look at it. The whole car was like, what are we seeing?
Yeah.
And it was actually just simply a cell phone tower, and we were seeing it in point of view. So as we drove towards it,
it looked like it was rising.
It looked like it was rising. We'd never seen one up close lit up at night.
Okay.
And it had the little spiky things. All we could see was where the ring of lights was at the top until we got close enough and then we could see the rest of the structure. And what happened is we were scared.
Yeah.
And then the familiar structure of the metal was something that our brains recognized once we got close enough to it.
Yeah.
Didn't you and your mum see like it was like an optical illusion of the sun or the moon?
Oh, the super moon. That was another one. A few years ago now, my mom surprised me by catching a ride down here. She lives 7 hours away. And so usually our trips are very planned to visit each other when it's true. Not an apocalypse.
Yeah.
and she phoned me. She goes, she says, you know, I'm at my friend's house in Orangeville.
Yeah.
Come and get me. So I did.
This was close. This was near Orangeville.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was in Orangeville.
Oh, I didn't know.
So
that. I'm
driving
you were out in, the
in on, what's the road that turns into Broadway in Orangeville?
I have no idea.
Anyways, doesn't matter. I'm driving just along a country road, very straight, going into a good sized town.
Yeah.
And pick up my mom, and the moon was a pretty big moon. It was a full moon.
Yeah.
And as we're driving back,
yeah,
the moon filled the entire horizon like
it was massive.
Like, it wasn't just big, like, wow, that's a big moon. We're talking, like, it went from one side of the horizon visually to the other side.
Weird.
We stopped in the middle of the road and looked at it. Like, it looked like the moon was crashing into the earth, like, in seconds.
Yeah, you were like, this is it.
Could you see details of the moon at all? Like,
yeah, actually, you can see, it was
craters
sort of,
and
you could see, yeah absolutely you could, like not as clear as with a telescope, but enough that it was like, my mom was like, what is going on here? Like, is this it? Like, what have we not heard about? And my brain was, I was afraid at first. I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on? This is crazy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, that's right, supermoon, it's an optical illusion. But I couldn't remember the science behind it.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, it's not real, but no, I have a reason to think it's not real. It's okay. I'm trying to think about it.
Yeah.
But it was in that sort of golden yellow color that moons get when they're really big, except that it literally filled the whole horizon, and it did that for, like a good 45 minutes to an hour before it suddenly wasn't like that anymore. And it's just an optical illusion, a very frightening one.
Do you want to talk about how you guys lost your sense of time?
All right. Yes.
Do you want to miss?
That wasn't me. I wasn't there.
Miss
for
science.
This one.
I know. Yes.
You want to talk about that?
All right. Because I don't have a scientific explanation for this, so I won't make any statement as to what I think it is. We joke about it being about the time we were abducted by aliens. We always joke about that, right? I was in Florida. We were just coming back from Disney World. We'd gone on a family vacation with my husband at the time, and my mom, and my baby brother, who is in his teens, and we're really, really familiar with the area. It's a very built-up, busy area, like a heavy tourist sort of area. It's really easy to get from one spot to another. Sorry, Arthur's phone. He keeps hitting snooze instead of turning it off.
Turn it off, or turn off your...
He likes the attention.
My alarms for the week were going off, and we have a family day, so they just went off.
That's right. Okay, so so we were in our own vehicle. We hadn't rented a car or anything. We were heading back to our hotel after being at Disney World for the day. Again, we're very familiar with the area. We were really comfortable with driving there. I was driving. My mom was in the passenger seat, and the guys were in the back, just because that's how we happened to draw on straws that day. And I'm driving along this very large divided highway. It's very sort of murky and dark. It was 10 or 11 o'clock at night, something like that. And Florida doesn't have snow, obviously, so they don't have a lot of the big wide medians at the side that we're used to here in Canada. So very close to the edge of the road, there's a chain link, what do they call it, frost fencing, that so you can't really pull over easily. And we're driving along. We're the only people on the highway, and it feels like we're driving, but we haven't come up to our... off ramp, which was only about, we were only supposed to be on the highway for about 5 minutes. And my mom's like, we missed the off ramp. I'm like, we couldn't have missed the off ramp. I was watching for it. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the radio on. There was nothing like that. And I glanced at the time, and it's like, we're fine. Yeah, it should be coming up any time now. Look, there's the lights of the person ahead of us. We could see them turning off, and we could see these two little red lights that must have been somebody's taillights. That's all we could kind of see through the gloom. Mm-hmm. Heading off on what we assumed was the off-ramp, maybe half a mile ahead of us. Mm-hmm. As we reached the area, we realized there was no off-ramp and there was no car either. Oh. So we're like, what the heck just happened? And it made the hair on the back of our necks go up, because we're like, okay, this is just too weird.
So you saw those two lights and you're like, oh, there's our off-ramp. And then they turned, but they turned into...
They almost looked like they were going up, but we assumed that they were going
up and
on
around,
like around a clover leaf,
yeah,
kind of thing, which is what we were expecting, because that's where we were supposed to be turning off. We mm-hmm. assumed, couldn't really see anything. It wasn't raining, but it was just kind of murky. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing there. There's just a big chain link fence. There's no cars. There's no skid marks. There's not enough room to even easily pull a car off. Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay, that's just weird. And we're still driving, and we feel like we're driving forever. We finally see another off-ramp, and as we pull onto this single-lane off-ramp, we realize we're going the wrong way. So we weren't going the wrong way on the highway, but all of a sudden, all the signs say that we're going the wrong way. So a car passes us and honks at us. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm more tired than I thought. What the heck is going on here? This is crazy. Yeah. There was a gas station. We pulled into the gas station to get bearings about where we were. And we were about 45 minutes away from where we were supposed to be. So we're still sort of spooked about it. And the guys are like, what is going on? Like, should I be driving? Like, why is this going on? Everything just felt really strange and upside down. Everything was really weird. There's no signs anywhere telling us where we are. Just this gas station where they're like, no, that's where you're looking for is... is all the way back here. So we turn around, we get back on the highway. There's still no signs, still no other cars, nothing. Mm-hmm. And within 6 minutes, we were at our hotel, which shouldn't have been possible given the amount of time. And it's like, to prove it to ourselves that we had obviously just driven further than we thought.
Yeah.
We look at the clock and we realize that it wasn't 45 minutes later anymore. It was now less than 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
So somewhere in there, we lost a good 20 minutes.
Wow.
And it was my mom and I both realized it. The guys in the back didn't, but they weren't really paying attention.
Yeah.
My ex hadn't been feeling well, so he'd gone to sleep. Mm-hmm. So he'd missed a lot of what was going on. My little brother, obviously, he was a kid still. He wasn't really paying much attention to anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is pre-cell phone, so it wasn't like, you know, he's just looking out the window and
doing his own thing
or whatever. So we didn't have anybody else in the car that had seen it, but my mom and I had both looked at the clock because we were both calculating that we should have
been there,
been at this place that we were very familiar with, in this area we were very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't been drinking, we hadn't done drugs.
Yeah.
It wasn't so late that we were exhausted. Both of us were talking to each other and keeping each other awake. Like, we weren't, wasn't yeah, like I dozed like off, I wasn't off by myself. And we lost, for 100% sure, we lost 20 minutes.
Wow.
It's possible we lost more in there, but that's what we could prove, that we had looked at the clock, and then we looked at the clock, and it was 20 minutes earlier.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So we don't know what it was. We don't, like, I can't say that we were, like, we joke that we were abducted by aliens.
You probably were.
Just so that you know.
We're Sasquatch aliens.
That's it.
But we definitely did have a weird experience, and we both felt it was weird. That was the other thing. So it wasn't just like my mom saying, oh, you just weren't paying attention and you're crazy.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Yeah.
We both felt upside down and uncomfortable. All the hair was standing up on our bodies. That's
kind of key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what always seems
when you have that moment where you're like, oh boy.
And it happened to both of us.
Yeah.
So, and we're both very practical people. Like, we're the debunkers, right? Mm-hmm. We're the ones
you're the
that
logic.
Are gonna, we're going to pop your bubble. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
So.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, well, I think that we are going to continue on this conversation on another podcast because we are.
Yeah, really it takes up a lot of time.
But I am very interested about what he has to say because now I'm very, very, very intrigued.
Gotcha. He says she says her internet just went out in Quebec there. It happens a lot. They get a lot of bad weather.
But the timing.
But the timing is weird. So she is happy to talk about it some more on another podcast for sure. And he's a bit shy, so he may not come on himself, but we might be able to talk more about the Loup-Garou.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. Okay, well, thank you, everybody.
We'll see you next time.
Okay, we'll see you later.
That's great. Thank you for joining us.
Don't forget to like and subscribe and share and do all the things.
That's right.